The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On today's UFC Unfiltered, Jimmy, not here, Phoenix Cannavale, is here. We also have the American Ninja Warrior herself, Jessie Graff, in studio. A phone call from Chris Weidman. What a show.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
UFC and digital media present UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Wrong. Wrong. Half that's right. I'm here. Matt Serra's here. I hate saying the third person thing. It's weird. But once again, Jimmy's taking over the world with his stand-up comedy. He's in L.A. doing something. Probably deviant. But I got my buddy, my co-host today is Phoenix Cannavale. And no applause because Chris, the producer, once again, is just fucking, yeah,
yay!
Dude. All right. It's almost like the audience is confused if they're happy you're here or not. I don't know what's going on with that. One day I will be in control of those buttons and that will be a glorious day.
You keep saying that.
I'm just going to do
it.
The second I have that, I will be. Know why they're not doing it? Because I'll be constantly booing Chris, the producer. No fucking reason. Hey, good to see you.
It's good to see you too.
You know, this is going to be a fun show. I know you've seen the fights over the weekend, and so did I, and I can't wait to talk about them.
I did.
We're probably going to have to wait, though, because I know we have a guest.
Yeah, Jessie Graff.
We have a straight-up ninja.
Exactly. That is exactly what she is, a straight-up ninja.
She's from American Ninja Warrior. And, Jessie Graff, and I was just watching a lot of her how do we even call it? Just a lot of her obstacle courses?
Yeah.
A lot of her ninja shit.
Runs, yeah.
Yeah. And it's very impressive. You know? That's something I'd like to do back in the day. I wouldn't want to do that now.
No, I couldn't do that
and
now.
I'm not doing it now. I'm not holding up my weight like that for this long. But back when I was like 23 or something, I used to love the obstacle course back in high school. Or no, not high school. That's actually elementary school probably.
Yeah, you can do stuff like that now. You can do those like the city runs and jumping over cars and stuff like that. I have all these weird
parkour.
Yeah.
Parkour?
Yeah. Parkour.
Does she do parkour? Or is that?
I mean, generally, yeah.
I'm going to ask her a lot of questions. When exactly is she coming in? Are we waiting
she's
a
here.
Little
bit? We can hang. She's hanging out a minute. Yeah.
Let her hang out a second.
Okay.
Because we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Me and Phoenix, not only the fights, we're going to slip in sooner or later. We're slipping in a movie minute today.
Oh,
because
yes.
We both are comic nerds. We'll find out if Jessie is too.
I think she is.
She's in like comic book stuff.
You know? Yeah.
Supergirl.
Be a bummer if she's not into it.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. She does stunts for a lot of different things.
Well, I want to know if she's into that stuff because she is like a superhero.
Yeah.
And she trains jujitsu, no?
I don't know if she's a I know she's a black belt in Taekwondo.
Okay.
She does a lot of that stuff, but I think she's trained in a lot of different martial arts.
Right.
Yeah. We can find out.
I don't know why I keep asking you all this stuff when I could find out from her in literally 2 minutes.
Let's do that. What I like about her though is when she does do the courses for American Ninja Warrior, she wears superhero outfits. She wears like Wonder Woman.
I went to talk when I still had the mute button because I was belching. I want to do everything that I wouldn't do in front of a stranger now. You're my buddy.
And
Chris, the producer, doesn't give a fuck. But you know, she's, you know, I don't want to come here and I'm belching into the microphone. That's might be rude. You know what I mean? But go ahead. What were you saying?
She gets dressed up in superhero outfits when she
do you, Phoenix?
I cosplay.
What?
Yeah. I do. I cosplay.
What's cosplay?
Cosplay is when you dress up like superheroes or comic book characters.
Yeah, just walking around the city?
Hey, like I got to tell you, my boyfriend really likes the Leia with the gold bikini.
Oh, that's my goodness. Thing. Yeah?
So.
Let's keep this clean. Chris, the producer, is taken back right now.
No, but she wears the costumes. Like, she went through a ninja, American Ninja Warrior wearing a Wonder Woman costume. Stuff
you
like
know,
that.
They got rash guards now, like superhero rash guards.
Yeah.
Guys are training with them. I can't do it. I'm going to get a Mr. Incredible one for when he's not in shape. And then you know, it'll be good when I am in shape because he also got in shape.
Oh,
remember when he first got it back on? Incredible.
Yes, I love that.
There's a rumor that there's an Incredibles 2 coming out.
They are. Doing
how do
it.
You give me? Do you know any scoop on that?
I think
this is what the fans of UFC Unfiltered need to know.
I think that the baby is supposedly the main story now because he's growing up and he's the more powerful one.
Really?
Yeah. Remember there was like a family. Wow. It was like two kids and a baby. Yeah.
Chris the producer, you ever see The Incredibles?
I have not actually.
Oh, it's so good. Honestly, it's really, really good. It's a cartoon, but it's like the same in the same vein as Toy Story. Like it's funny and like, adults will appreciate it.
Really irked by you. How could you not have seen that?
I don't know. I don't watch a ton of movies, honestly.
He gets offended if you don't see things.
That's an old movie, though. When did that come out, The Incredibles?
Like, probably late 90s, early 2000s.
I think we
early
need to 2000. Find that out, Christopher. That's important. For absolutely nothing. You know what it is? I don't want to get into the fight check, because once we get in, I'm going to be bees deep in it.
It was good. I
want to be balls deep in it, but I don't want to be rude. I want to get involved with these fights, because I want to talk about Gunnar Nelson, who I'm a big fan of.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I'm keeping people in suspense, even though they've seen it already.
I love when people say, oh, there's nobody on this card. Like, no, these are the up and comers. Yeah. These are the people you need to pay attention to, because these guys fight their heart out and they're not tentative. It was good from start to finish.
Yeah,
definitely.
Some big stompages. When I talk, who are you waving to?
I'm waving
there's
at
a reason,
Jesse.
There's a reason why I'm not sitting. In this scene. Because of see how I'm looking at you, and then behind you there's a wall with like a big rat on it, like a evil looking Chuck E. Cheese or something. That's good, because if I'm facing that way, it's just like you ever see that animation. I think it's the one with the clouds. Which one was it? When there's a dog that has a collar on it.
Up.
Yeah. So the dog's in the middle of talking, and also there's a squirrel.
Yeah.
It looks off to the side. That's me. That is me. I never got tested for anything as far as ADD or something, but
are you really creative?
What?
Like, are you really creative? Are you like
interested in certain things in jiu-jitsu?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm pretty creative with my kimuras. I have some nice setups.
Because they say a lot of people with ADD are usually super creative and they just can't hold the like popcorn stuff happens to their brains. Like idea, squirrel, you know?
Yeah, well, that's me. I think that helps me both in jiu-jitsu and in fighting. Because it helped me stay in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It did. Like, I'm not thinking too far. I'm just right in the present. And it just hurts me in every other area of life. No, I'm only kidding. I'm not bad. But this Jessie Graff, that stuff that she does, when I see those things, there's another show. I love the American Ninja Warrior, which is the one when they have like a bunch of fat people doing it. And they're like,
it's like Wipeout.
Wipeout. Yeah. That is great. Which one is... I thought that we were going to have somebody in from Wipeout. No, I'm only kidding. No, this is more impressive. This takes a lot more skill. The other one's like a bunch of fat people. You ever see that?
Yeah, that's just people guessing if they can do something or not.
Listen, I think now, like me in this stage of my life, I'll do that Wipeout thing. I don't think I'm doing
I think all water parks should be like that.
The Wipeout?
Yes. How much more fun would that be? Remember Action Park?
Yes. Oh,
my father used to call it Traction Park.
Yeah.
Because he would leave there.
No, people would be messed up. They did a special on that recently.
Did they?
Yeah. There was a special on that water park. And I went there a lot too. And there's always people dying. There's always dying from the wave pool to the whatever. No, people get messed up. They had a thing called the Alpine Slide.
It was amazing. I loved it.
It's great. But if you go too fast, you wipe out and you lose a lot of skin.
Yeah.
Because it's on like a cement.
Yeah.
Like slide type thing, and you're in this lever. You have to sit down with this lever like between your legs, and you just push forward and back. I mean, you don't get no crash course on this thing. No. There's kids on this thing.
Yeah.
Did you ever do it? You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I didn't do it, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
I don't think that park's still there anymore.
No, it's gone because it just had there was way too many lawsuits. They had to let it go.
Even the Tarzan swing was fun.
And now it's just all 4D rides.
Yeah. Which makes me sick, but
I
was fine until
now.
We went after 9 in a row, and by the 9th one, my boyfriend and I were like, "This can't be good for us." Like, we thought we were going to die.
Hey, Chris, the producer, Phoenix is moving in with a boyfriend very soon.
Oh, congratulations! That's great.
Thank you.
You excited?
I am.
Very nice.
I'm going to have to cook a lot.
Yeah. Every time we have a guy guest in here, this is going to be refreshing for you, because every time we have a guy guest in here with Phoenix, they're all like flirting with her.
Yes. Finally. I got in trouble for that freaking last one.
What? But,
my boyfriend's like, so Sean Wayans, I think I hate in living color now.
Yeah. No, it's funny because I'm sitting here and I just watched them just all oogling. Mm-hmm. Oogling? Or Googling?
Yeah, what's oogling. Yeah. Oogling. Well, they probably Google.
Oogling. They probably Googled you afterwards. He's like, oh, man, you're like a fly girl. You're like the fly. It's funny.
Let me ask you this. Did you guys watch the all of the Mayweather-McGregor press conferences?
I watched all of
that. I watched three. I watched three of them.
It's a good. Was there more than three?
Yeah, there was four. There was one. They ended in London.
I didn't watch the one where he was dressed like Pimp Tyler Durden.
That was in Brooklyn.
One.
Listen, I'm with Connor on this one. I'm rooting for Connor.
Oh, Connor won all four.
And what is with Connor's more? He's better on the mic. The other, I can't. Hard work. I can't get
dedication.
Hard work.
Dedication.
I mean, anybody can say that. You just guys have the dedication. Yeah. He just yells it. I think if he gets stumped, he goes, hard work. That's it. And it's just like, and then then he goes for a little like walk around the stage.
I know. I thought he was gonna start rapping, and he said bitch more than Jesse from Breaking Bad. It was like bitch this, bitch. It's like it's not an insult anymore.
There was one point when he it got a little interesting when he goes up to his guys and he's like, Voltron, form Voltron, uh-huh. And okay. Then all of a sudden all his big bodyguards go to walk. They stand like right in front. There's some of those guys. Oh my God. Just want to smack the fuck out of them.
Right.
Oh,
well, that
God.
Was a mistake though, because Connor's got Artem Lobov and he's got a lot of people behind him. They're like, they'll fight. They're okay.
No, yeah. That's the thing. These big beefcakes will get their ass kicked. You know what I mean? But it's just the punch. I can't stand those meatheads. I just can't stand the meatheads, man. Even though I look like a little meathead myself.
Yeah, but you know, it's funny.
But those guys.
I think people underestimate how kind of spiritual you are in
oh,
sense.
Thank
like,
you.
No,
oh,
you are. Because, like, you're wow. like, I don't like that guy's energy, or, you know, he's not a nice person. Like, stuff like that really gets to Matt. Like, right. They're like, yeah. So
well, I mean, those guys.
And,
those guys are a bunch of you know? Just hired whatever thugs on Voltron, and then they all go in front of. But it's funny. You know what I mean? And it's one of those things where then all they showed it. I saw it on Dana's video blog for it. He did like a world tour blog.
Yeah.
And that's good because you could always get up. You could always see what he's saying, like when they're face to face.
I did appreciate Floyd going up to Dana and apologizing to him and, you know talking about what he did for the sport and stuff. I thought that was kind of an actual cool moment.
Well, he
in
knows
sports.
Him. He knows him a long time, personally. What's funny about that is you got Connor going up to the Showtime guy, calling him a weasel. And I just love that. I can't, because, you know, I mean, I don't know the guy, but when you look at him, I don't know. All those guys are the same.
Yeah.
And, but Dana is different. And how about the other guy treating him different? Instead of attacking, you know, Dana, the other guy's going, Mayweather's going up and apologizing to him. I was wondering what kind of angle he was going at, but he wasn't really, no, he was just saying sorry.
Yeah.
And then he'd go into attacking, I thought he was going to say, but your boy's going to get effed. No, he's just, then he went back into his
listen,
tirade.
They put together a historical deal in sports, and whether you like it or not, it's a lot of money. There's a lot of money involved.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think Floyd's coming at that from that angle of like, we're the business guys. Like, Connor's just kind of a pawn in my game, you know. But
I can see that.
I like that that Connor keeps bringing up that, this is like a half of a fight or quarter of a fight. So it's like, you know, if this is our actual real fight, you're not going to last a round.
Can I ask you a question, Matt?
Sure.
I think you might understand this really well. There's two schools of thought here that your cardio with boxing is nowhere near as difficult as it would be for MMA because of the up and down and whatnot. And I've believed that. So, of course, Connor's going to be able to go 12 rounds, you know, because he's already done so many rounds in MMA, which are longer and much more exhausting. It's way more exhausting for me to kick than it is for punch. But other people say chasing a boxer, getting hit, the volume of punches, that's more exhausting. So, in your personal opinion, what is more tiring, nonstop boxing with somebody or MMA?
Well, first of all, it's going to be where you're the most uncomfortable. If a guy has no business boxing at all with us, is at different levels, and the other guy's boxing him up and down, that could be exhausting for a guy that could shoot in and get a takedown and chill out. But he has he's not new to boxing, Connor. Connor's has a lot of rounds under his belt. And with a fighter, even though Mayweather is the superior boxer, his style is not an overwhelming style like a let's say like a Nick Diaz or a Nate Diaz in MMA where they're in your face constantly. That gets exhausting. He's in a shell. He's in a shell and he's looking to counter strike. And we're having Jesse come in now, aren't we? So both of you guys are looking over my shoulder. How are you, Jesse? Nice to meet you. Matt, Sarah, how are you? Nice to meet you.
Hi, Phoenix.
I should get up. It's polite.
Nice to meet you too.
Okay, you can sit right over there. That's your seat over there. Okay. And how are you? Are you a bodyguard or just...
Publicist.
All right. All right, she's hanging out. There's no seat for the publicist? No. Chris, the producer, she's okay like that? A fly on the wall?
We can get you a seat.
All right. How are you, Jesse?
I'm great.
That thing right in front of you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, water. That water's for you.
That's for you, yeah. You want some coffee or anything?
No, I'm doing great. Thanks.
Now, let me ask you, are you a mixed martial arts fan? Do you watch any fights, like the UFC or anything?
I watch like special ones when my friends are all getting together. We usually have like big stunt get-togethers and watch.
Oh.
I'm actually a little self-conscious about not following it enough because I feel like it's important as a stunt person to be educated on that. And I do love studying the movement, but I don't stay up to date on like the politics of what's going on.
A very casual fan. So you just watch it when you watch it when someone's having a party, basically.
Yeah. And then I go to the gym with the people who really follow it and we like mimic the moves that happened.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, that helps you with your stunt work.
Oh, it's so important. Yeah. Because it's so popular these days that people are wanting to see more realistic MMA style choreography in the fights. So it's an important thing to stay up to.
Yeah, you're seeing that a lot with movies now, especially with a lot of things that are coming out. And you've done a few of the Marvel shows and Supergirl and all that type of stuff. So you see this MMA influence. What do you see more grappling in the moves or more throws or?
Yeah, like flying arm bars are super popular now. And like so many of my friends are doing jiu-jitsu and just taking those moves and
incorporating.
Have you ever messed around with Brazilian jiu-jitsu? You said flying arm locks. Have you ever messed around? Is anybody showing you anything?
I've been taught a couple different moves, and then I usually forget the names really quickly.
That's okay. So do I. You have a background in martial arts, though, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, I started training martial arts when I got into stunts. And so the whole time that I've been learning martial arts, it all has been geared specifically towards doing fight choreography in movies and not as much towards applying and hurting people. But yeah, I've studied a lot of Taekwondo and some Kung Fu and Wushu, Capoeira, boxing, kickboxing. I really do need to get into more jiu-jitsu and grappling. It's so cool.
So much fun. I love it.
Yeah, if you look at like a John Wick, that's a film that showcases, you know, like sambo and judo and jiu-jitsu really well. Because back in the day, they didn't put a lot of it on screen because it was really hard to read grappling on screen. And now people are more familiar seeing it.
I got to get into that John Wick. I saw the first one, but I wasn't like... I don't know. Watch the second one.
Watch
I gotta
the second.
See the second
Keanu
one.
Keanu did a lot of his own stunts, right?
Mm-hmm. I used to train with the guys that produced that. Chad
8711. Yeah, 8711 stunt team.
They kind of gave me my foundation of fight and martial arts training. Working with them, they broke it down. They gave me the basics, and they made fun of me when I sucked at things, and like, you know, pushed me to get better and understand what looks good and what doesn't.
It's really hard big for a stunt person because you guys have to make the main actors look good.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're doubling somebody, how does it work for when you have to double a person?
It's so different from job to job. We start out, if we're lucky, if we get a lot of time, we get to train the actors and teach them, you know, most importantly, like how to stand, how to have your hands, how to look, how to do those finishing moves just to finish things, you know, to look confident and move the way this type of character would move. And then the quicker they pick it up, the more we can start teaching them like how to do a good punch and how to do a good kick and what style they would have. And some of them pick it up really well and we can advance and have them do a lot of their own stunts, and others don't latch on to it or it hurts and they don't want to get into as much of it. And so with those, then we try to focus just on like, what is the exact movement they're going to do? What's that, like, finishing pose? And teaching them that part so that we can blend through and know, like, you know, my hair is on this side of my face, so we'll choreograph the fight so that my face is more hidden. Mm-hmm. And so it's just working with the actor, knowing how much they can and want to do, and then filling in the gaps.
Yeah, it's hard. It's like paint by numbers and stuff.
Yeah. How did you get started with the whole stunt work? What made you say, I want to be a stunt person?
It was watching Buffy and Xena when I was a little kid.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, like I was into Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles too, but watching Buffy and Xena, I was like, man, I want to be just like that when I grow up. And, you know, so I studied acting a little bit and planned on being an action hero and majored in theater. But it was always the movement that inspired me the most, wanting to jump off of cliffs and buildings and swing and fly through the air. And like, I loved fight scenes and I would try to mimic them and I totally thought I could do it. And that was, it was a fun transition, like finally getting good enough at the fight stuff to realize that I sucked and then be like, oh my gosh, I have so much to learn and like training more and more. And yeah, it's just when I realized that the actors usually don't get to do most of the stunts, that's when I started learning what stunts was. And that was after college and just diving in and being like, oh my gosh, I want to learn everything. And all the stunt people are experts at every style of martial arts and motorcycles and cars and high falls and trampoline and gymnastics. And it's just like you're surrounded by these experts and everything. And it's your job to learn.
That's so interesting. You wanted to be in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. Like you wanted to be the action person. And then you're like, all right, they're not really doing it. I want to be the person behind the scenes doing the actual stunt work, and who cares about being in front of the camera. Is that right? Is that how that went down? Or
well, I mean, I always wanted to do both.
Yeah.
But then when I broke it down and said, okay, would you rather, if same movie, would you rather be the action star, have everyone see your face and do all the acting, but not get to do the stunts?
Yes. Oh, no, I thought you were asking me. Go ahead.
Or do I want to get to do those big heroic moves, learn how to fly through the air and like kind of get to be the real hero? I mean, nothing against the actors, like the acting is such an important part of the movie, but the part that inspired me most was getting to do that movement. And it's not as important to me if like people know my name or what I'm doing. It's what do I get to do? Do I get to challenge myself and kind of be the hero, you know?
She's like, mm-hmm. She is like a superhero.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's behind the scenes, like the alter ego type of thing, but you are the actual action part of it. Yeah, that's really cool.
And that Buffy gets all the credit, you know, some BS right there.
Her stunt double is Sophia Crawford, and she is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, Buffy's not still around. Oh, you mean the old Buffy we're talking about, right?
That's the TV series,
I remember the movie. That's how old I am. Did anybody remember the movie with Kate Swanson? Was it Kate Swanson?
Christy Swanson.
That's it.
I took Taekwondo with her.
Get out of here.
Not kidding, yeah.
Oh, that's wow. What a small world.
She's so cool. I love her.
But now when you do American Ninja Warrior, mm-hmm. not only are people seeing your face, but you wear the superhero costume. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Thank you. Yeah, isn't it crazy? It's so funny. Like, going from stunts to Ninja Warrior and feeling like, you know, I'm basically doing the same thing. We're doing stunts across this obstacle course, only now suddenly people know about it and recognize me. Yeah.
Oh, no, it's so awesome. And you're amazing at it, too. But have you ever done like a parkour or anything of that type of stuff?
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what it seems like.
But yeah. The Team Tempest is the group that I train with. And I started working out with them before they had even come up with a name, before they were Team Tempest. And they taught me kind of the basics of like doing the vaults and how you roll out of a flip and how it's different from gymnastics. And then they went on to become a team. And actually, their top female, Lucy Romberg, who's an 11-time world champion, she was my roommate for a couple of years. So I'm closely involved with them, but I don't do it seriously enough to call myself a free runner. But that's definitely one of my dreams, to totally be a free runner.
Do you remember the first, how did you find out about Ninja Warrior? Like, you were already into stunts.
Mm-hmm.
So did your stunt friends say, yo, check this out, Jesse? Yeah.
Actually, so that same roommate, Lucy Romberg, was the first woman to compete on Ninja Challenge and go to Japan and compete on Sasuke. And I was her roommate at the time, and I knew that she did a thing called Ninja Warrior that it was really fun, and she brought me back a headband, and that was the extent of my information. Cool. But I saw it set up on the beach a couple years later and was like, oh, that's what that is. It looks really cool. And I went up and was like, hey, guys, I would like to do this. And they just looked at me like I was crazy. And they're like, people sent in applications a year ago. Mm-hmm. You can apply next year. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay, great.
Yeah, so you did. You applied next year.
I actually forgot about it until the night before. Like, I happened to look it up and was like, oh no, it's due in 4 hours. And I'm just lucky that with a career as a stunt woman, I had tons of footage doing cool stuff, just like basically in my stunt reel. And so I plopped it together. I sang my stunt woman song and sent it off.
What is the stunt woman song? Now I have to know.
It's a kind of parody of Santeria.
Okay. Oh, by Sublime?
Yes.
Okay. Feel free if you want to.
No, yeah. No, it's on YouTube. I'm not a good singer, but I was paddling 20 miles down a river in Oregon one time, and it took way longer than expected. So I got bored and wrote a song.
That's cool.
Oh, so you wrote that song?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
How do we get to see that? Where is that on YouTube?
It's actually in my first Ninja Warrior submission video. Okay. And yeah, it's on YouTube.
So we put in the Jesse Graff audition video, and we're going to hear you belting out some tunes.
Season 5. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm looking forward to that.
you've done some phenomenal things with Ninja Warrior, and you know, just putting the guys aside for a second. Mm-hmm. Right now, I think, to be a female athlete, to be a female anything, it's huge. It's really powerful for us. With Wonder Woman that just came out, you know, with you being one of the first to finish, right, in Ninja Warrior.
It's a little complicated. Yeah. There's like 6 stages of competition. And so I was the first woman to complete stage 1 of the national finals.
Okay.
And kind of stage 2 now that they put me on Team USA for USA versus the world, where the rules are a little different, but I got to complete stage 2 as well. So there's still 2 left to complete.
When we were growing up, we didn't have, like, we had Buffy, we had Xena. We didn't have as much as there is right now. Mm-hmm. The UFC has a bunch of divisions for women when originally we didn't have anything. So when you look at everything that you're doing and everything that's happening for women in sports and in just basically, and even in stunts, right? Mm-hmm. What's the view of it from your world?
I feel really lucky that I kind of grew up feeling like it was that way already. And it's more interesting to me now seeing through social media and the response that I've been getting that a lot of women growing up, you know, at the same time as me or earlier just didn't have that experience of seeing women be strong, doing amazing things. And I kind of just saw my mom doing that all the time, just taking on impossible challenges and being like, okay, well, the 2-ton floating dock drifted across the 400-acre lake and we don't have a motorboat, so we're going to row across and we'll spend the whole day rowing it back by hand.
Wow.
And it was just like, this is normal. It never came up that, like, well, you know, it's going to be harder because I'm a woman. It was just like, this is what has to get done. Let's do it. And it never occurred to me that women would be weaker or less capable. And so I always grew up seeing that, of course you can do anything. Why not? And it was only later that I learned, oh, we have less testosterone, so we have to work harder to be strong. Mm-hmm. Which was just, okay, great. Good challenge. Work harder.
Wow.
So seeing that other people didn't have that experience and that I get to share that, and now more people are being like liberated of like, oh my gosh, I can do that. I can try things and realizing that anything is possible. It's just amazing to get to share that.
Yeah, I agree. Watching Wonder Woman was the first time, I think it's the only thing I can think of where there was 20 plus women on screen at the same time fighting.
Yeah.
Have you seen?
I love that scene.
Did you see the movie?
I got to go to the premiere.
You did?
I did. It was so exciting.
I want to know what you think about... Wait, hold on one second.
Okay.
Hit it. Come on, let's talk about this.
All right, here we go.
Sorry about the cheesy special effects.
We got to do this.
You got to...
Good. Well, I was waiting for you
to talk about
the
movie. Ready? Sorry about this. Hi, everybody. It's me. No, we talk about movies here, too. I know. We get silly. But since we're talking about movies, we have to throw that in. And I loved Wonder Woman. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I thought that... Do you watch a lot of the comic book movies?
And, oh, yeah.
Do you?
I do. I love them.
Oh, you fit right in with us.
Oh, good.
Such comic book nerds. Oh, I love it so much. In DC, even though they get a lot of crap, you know, for like Suicide Squad, which I enjoyed.
I liked it.
Everybody gives that crap. I had a good time. You know, my kids love Harley Quinn, and that scares me, but whatever. They do bad stuff. They're like, Harley Quinn's bad? I go, what? That's not good to say. Watch Supergirl. But anyway, Wonder Woman. Wow, man. They really, I thought the lead, what's her name again, the lead? The girl.
Gal Gadot.
I thought she was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
I loved
it. I thought it moved along great. I think it started great with the Amazons and how she came up. And what am I missing in this movie? Did you enjoy this movie?
I loved it. I thought the villain was a little weak.
That's
but
true.
Yeah. I absolutely loved it. And for me, it was just... So, for like you said, we were talking about Buffy and mm-hmm. Lucy Lawless. The first chick to like who I wanted to be was Princess Leia.
Yeah.
Because Princess Leia was like strong, she was tough, they rescued her, but she grabbed a blaster and starts like rolling with the guys and telling Han what to do. It was like, what?
Yeah.
So, you know, so now I'm thinking about little girls that are going to see Jesse in superhero garb running Ninja Warrior and girls that are going to watch Wonder Woman and your kids who are seeing just women do martial arts and their dad teaching them jiu-jitsu. I'm like, wow, look at the playing field for like women now. I just think it's really super cool. So I loved it.
I like the scene in Wonder Woman when they were in, I forgot the name of the Death Valley or something. They were in a spot where they were this pinned down and they're like, yo, we can't go out there. And she drew the attention and just the way it was shot.
How you see the bullet come in
and she blocks it with her bracelet. What is it? The bracelets.
The bracelets, yeah.
Yeah, bracelet type things, yeah. Right? What do you call those things? But she's blocking bracelets. Those bullets and then she takes, she drew the attention away from the dudes. And then I thought that was amazing. What a good scene. All right, let me get back to American.
Yeah,
American.
But just
I just love talking about it.
But like the movement on that, like the fight styles were, it was probably my favorite style to, like I got to learn some of it. I worked on some of the testing, the stunt rigging.
Yeah.
Like the pre-production stuff. Yeah, Previs.
Yeah.
And Latif Crowder, he's like my favorite capoeira guy ever.
He's
the one
amazing.
In The Protector.
Yeah, you've seen him in a bunch
fighting
of stuff.
Fighting Tony Jaa. And so they brought him in to train the Wonder Woman stunt doubles and the Amazons. And so I got to train with him and learn some of that. And then the wire stuff, like mm-hmm. that shield move I got to test.
Really?
And so, yeah, there was another stunt girl holding the shield and they'd lift us on the wires. We popped off of it and spun. And it was just like, that's the dream come true of like getting to do that style of movement.
Now, you did a lot you went behind the scenes, you're still doing the stunt work and stuff. But now that you're in front of the camera, and you're getting all this attention. How does that feel? Is it a different feeling? Because you're not used to... I mean, I'm sure like people watch this stuff and go, oh, that was you going over the hood of the car. So you might get a little something like that with your friends and family. But with this, like, what does your mother think? What does your family, your friends, see you just like exploding like this?
My parents are so proud. They're adorable.
Oh, that's great.
Oh my gosh. My mom's even like, she's gotten into it since watching Ninja Warrior. Yeah. She, at 63, was like, I need to be able to do a pull-up. And so
that's amazing.
It took her over a year to get her first strict form pull-up. And now she can do 9.
What?
And
that's great. Yeah. I can only do like 5.
It's unbelievable. Wow. Like to see, because people are always asking like, well, can women really build that much upper body strength? Yeah. Like what if you didn't start when you were 6 years old?
Right.
And she just didn't care. She was like, well, I want to be able to do it. I'm going
to
do it.
What was the secret to it for her to be able to build the upper body strength?
I think it was just the determination. I think so many people, especially women, will try it and be like, oh, this feels impossible. Yeah. And then someone will validate that and be like, well, yeah, upper body strength is really hard for women. And then when you hear that and it justifies, you know, it makes sense. You're like, oh, well, of course it won't work. Well, why waste my time doing it versus trying it and being like, oh, it feels impossible. And someone going, yeah. That's how it's supposed to feel. Keep doing it.
It's so funny. I'm looking at my notes and it says you started circus training at the age of 6. What's circus training? What exactly does that mean?
It was here in New York. It was called circus gymnastics. And it was just like trapeze classes mm-hmm. and acro, hand balancing. And it was just because I'd seen the circus when I was 4 and just immediately fell in love and was like, yeah. Mom, I have to do this. And they were like, okay.
Wow.
And it was just, I had to do it.
I have a question on how you prepare for these things. Because when okay. I watched you, especially, like, I mean, listen, obviously you have to be in phenomenal shape, but there's certain things, like, you know, I used to fight and there's, you know, you have to go over what takes place in a fight. So you mimic mm-hmm. it by sparring a lot. And then we do a lot of jiu-jitsu and, you know, it's specifically for what I was, you know, the task at hand, MMA fight. But with this, it's not like you have all this. How do you simulate? Like, there's a certain thing you do. I'm sorry, but some of the names are going to escape me. So it's almost like you're doing a pull-up, but you get the whole bar to move down, down, mm-hmm. down, then up. And you were doing it amazingly. You had a different grip. I noticed you had the one grip, your hands going
the
opposite.
Yeah.
I call it a switch, a mixed grip.
I thought that was amazing. And the way you did that, how do you prepare for that?
Well,
I don't know. I mean,
It is a lot like preparing for a fight. You kind of know, like, you don't know what they're going to throw at you, but you can study their style. You can know that, like, you need to prepare your kicks, your punches, your blocks. Yes. Like, you know the basic components. You know what strength you need to have, what kind of speed, what kind of explosiveness. And so for a Ninja Warrior course, I know that I need to be able to do tons of pull-ups, hang from tiny ledges and swing. I need to know how the physics of a swing works on different types of moving objects. It's not just straight forward and back. They'll go in weird circles. Mm-hmm. Trampolines and explosive quick footwork.
No, that... what's the pole thing I'm talking
about? Oh, right. Sorry. Salmon ladder. That's called the salmon ladder.
Oh, because you have to go upstream, mm-hmm. basically. That makes sense. Yeah. I get that.
And you kind of wob like a fish. the reason I do the mixed grip is if you think about holding a bar... And it spins because it's not hooked into anything. Yeah. Your hands are going to want to roll off of it. And it takes a lot of strength to force your hands to stay forward.
Yeah, so you have to use more forearm grip mm-hmm. and traps. Really.
And most of the guys who do this and have been doing it for years are so ridiculously strong that they just do it that way. Mm-hmm. And when I first started, I could only do 6 pull-ups, but I wanted to get up the salmon ladder. And I didn't have that kind of grip strength, so I put one hand backwards, which...
Are you the only one doing it that way?
No. The Japanese guys from the original show Sasuke, a lot of them do that. Mm-hmm. And
is that where you've seen it?
No, I made it up. I was like, I can't keep this bar from spinning. I realized later they were doing the same thing. And a lot of people have picked it up because I've always done it that way. And it causes your shoulders to twist a little bit crooked. And so a lot of people try it and they're like, oh, this isn't a good idea. I'm not going to do it because the bar is crooked. Yeah. But if you train it that way, you get used to it and you kind of counteract it.
You can stabilize,
And the reason a lot more of the ninjas have taken it up this year is...
The ninjas! I'm sorry, I love that.
I recognize how silly it is that we call ourselves ninjas when we don't fight or assassinate anyone. Oh, yeah, but
ninja really means stealth. Ninja. Like, that's actually what ninja means in Japanese.
Yes.
So...
I love it. I love ninja nerds. Last year we had an obstacle called the wedge, where it's kind of like the salmon ladder, but instead of having rungs, it's these two slanted plexiglass pieces. So the bar can go, it can shift left forward, right back. So it can switch out by either getting one hand ahead of the other one or by getting one hand lower. It was really weird and we'd never seen anything like it before. And so everyone's hopping across it forward just like the salmon ladder. But when you get to the end of it and you have to build up this big swing and dismount, all the guys who were gripping straight forward peeled off of it at the last second. And because I had practiced the mixed grip, I was able to get through it.
That's great.
I've seen that. And it was very dramatic. That's this one you sent me, Chris, the producer. It was like one of those things where you just did it and you see the pole fall behind you and you make it. It was like one of those. It felt like an action movie, that freaking thing. That was wild, no? Everybody couldn't believe it. I loved it. That was amazing. But you don't, that salmon ladder, I'm sorry, I can't get past that. I know you do a lot of pull-ups, but it looks like you did that. Do you have a practice salmon ladder somewhere?
Don't. No, most of what I practice, I only do actual obstacle training maybe once every 2 months. I focus mostly on the strength training. Because so much of my background, especially in stunts, having to improvise and all the circus and martial arts, like, it prepares me to figure out the obstacles on the spot and adjust.
You're literally doing like geometry and trigonometry it with your body when you see an object.
Yes.
That is freakishly awesome.
And
it's
so
crazy. Because you got to figure it out. Right. It's not like, all right, let me try that again.
But we do that, Matt. Yeah. Like, remember when you paw your jab out? That's how your brain knows the distance between you and your opponent and how you have to shoot for a takedown. It's very scientific and mathematics that you do with your own body that you figure out within time. Training,
but
you know?
What I'm saying, this course, like with these certain things, like you're figuring it out pretty much on the spot. Mm-hmm. You're not used to feeling
crazy.
It. I'm used to guys throwing jabs at my melon. You know what I mean? So I'm not used to doing any of the cross grips and this and that. It's very impressive. Now, what do you have coming up? Like you have, there's something coming. Talk to me. You have a big...
Yeah, what's next?
What's next?
Oh my gosh. It's most, so much of it is secret. It's always
I'm sorry.
It's
okay. Don't say anything.
No, but what can ninja. I tell you? What I can tell you. So my next episode of Ninja Warrior is, let's see, August 7th. That'll be the Daytona City Finals, which is kind of like regionals.
Okay.
So it'll be the same course that I competed on plus four more obstacles.
You know what those obstacles are?
Well,
you can't tell us.
I can't say yet.
All right.
But you know what they are. So
but
you're prepared for them.
So the exciting thing for me is that I didn't finish the qualifying course. I fell on like the last step of the fifth obstacle. And so I get a rematch with this Rolling Thunder, which, oh man, it's so grueling. It's kind of the equivalent of doing about 35 pull-ups in one set.
Rolling Thunder?
Yeah, it's like this big wagon wheel, and you have to just like monkey bar your way to roll it. I think they said it weighs about 100 pounds.
Yeah.
It's just, it's a really annoying obstacle.
Yeah.
You had a hard time on that thing.
I did. I thought I was going to get it.
So you possibly get redemption on the Rolling Thunder. Possibly.
There is the potential for redemption. And then the, you know, the fear is like, well, gosh, if I fell on it the first time, when I get through it, well, now I have four more upper body obstacles afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
it just seems like an unfair advantage for a female, you know, just because it's all upper body stuff and it's not necessarily our strength or even how we're built.
I still think that's just about like, what did you start training with as a little kid?
Mm-hmm.
I think the only reason that people think women can build lower body strength but not upper body strength is because women start walking really young.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been using your legs your whole life. So when you start trying to build muscle, there's already a foundation. Whereas if you weren't doing gymnastics, if you weren't climbing things and doing pull-ups, then it's kind of like you have to wake up the muscles in your arms and teach them how to function in a way that they haven't before. I actually find it easier to build upper body strength than lower body strength because in gymnastics, we punch off the floor.
Yeah.
I was doing trapeze and bars and hanging from things. And I started lifting when I was in college, and I could bench press more than I could squat.
Wow.
It's just what you train.
That's good to hear.
You started gymnastics young?
Yeah. I did the circus gymnastics for three years and then started competitive gymnastics when I was 12.
Could you do one of those aerials? Aerial? What do you call that?
Do you want lefty or righty martial arts style or gymnastics on a beam?
The only reason I ask is because I have my my kids are in dance. You know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my 8-year-old is my oldest, and she's killing it, but she'd be doing even better if she's able to do one of those aerials? I know that's the mermaid. Am I saying it right?
That's right. An aerial, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. I can give you some drills to show her.
Get out of here. Could you really?
Cool. Very cool.
I'm excited.
Because
what I'm thinking about doing is, this is what I was thinking about doing. Me and my wife were thinking about even getting her like private lessons with, I don't want her to have to do gymnastics because she's already at dance. I can actually talk about this off air, but who cares? We can talk about this on air. People like to know about this. I was thinking about getting her like half an hour private lessons with at a gymnastics school to learn that,
because
that would help her dance like routines and solos and whatnot. Do you think that's a good idea?
Definitely. Nice. Yeah, either gymnastics or there's the Brooklyn Zoo, the free running school.
Brooklyn Zoo?
Brooklyn Zoo. Yeah, it's like where all the stunt people go and train.
The zoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My boyfriend's a stunt guy. That's why you're like, how do you know all these terms? Like, I hear them every day. Oh. Yep.
Well, I'm right in Long Island, but we have a lot of...
Oh, you definitely have stuff out there.
Yeah, we got stuff out there. Yeah. Again, I don't need it to be the next Mary Lou Retton. I just want to... again, that's a gymnast nobody knows. This is my age.
I know Mary Lou
I'm 43.
That's a good reference.
Did anybody ever hear of Mary Lou Retton? Anybody?
Of course.
Yeah. All right, thanks.
But guys. I did compete in gymnastics for a while, so...
Oh, look at that. So that's not that hard to do. That has to be hard to do. But I've seen these other little girls do
it. It's more technical.
Yeah?
And most of the time, I think when people start trying to do aerials, they're thinking...
They're going to break their head.
Cartwheel. They're like, oh, well, now I can do it with like one hand or with like four fingers.
For people that don't know what that is, can you explain what an aerial is?
Yeah, it is a cartwheel with no hands.
Yeah, so you just... But these little girls do it. It's amazing.
But you just have to jump off of your leg. People kind of dive off of their leg and go down, and then they have to use their hands to catch themselves. But if you jump off of your leg, like really drive with your quad, and then drive the heel in the
back. You're going to have to show me that drill. Show my kid.
I'll show you right here.
That's awesome.
Wow. Okay. We're videotaping that.
Oh, that's amazing.
Videotaping. That's an old reference too. Recording. Videotapes anymore.
So wait, did we talk about when this new season comes out? I want people to watch you, Jesse.
Well, the season started on June 4th ish.
Oh, so when can they watch?
But it's on Monday nights at 8/7 Central on NBC. So tonight actually is the Denver qualifiers, and then next week we'll start LA finals.
It's pretty awesome.
And where are you living now? Are you still in New York, or are you in LA now?
No, I'm mostly in LA.
Oh, mostly in LA.
By mostly, I mean I live in LA.
Okay.
How is that compared to you like it over there? I mean, I know you grew up in New York.
I love it. I love both. I love coming back to visit New York because it's so different. Like, I only lived here till I was 9.
Yeah.
And so now just being able to go everywhere and just get anywhere you want without having to drive. Yeah. Like, I walked over here today through the park. And
yeah, that's cool.
It's so fun.
Yeah, that's very cool.
The hardest part is just like there are so many things to climb, and I'm trying so hard to behave and like not get arrested for climbing someone's crane,
scaffolding and
stuff.
I was going
to ask you, like in your off time, like do you seem like the type that would do that, just jump on a bike or do rock climbing? Do you ever just chill out and veg out? And what do you like to do that's not active? I don't know. Are you a movie person or are you just always on the go?
I mean, the things that I enjoy most are like those big adventures, like hop on a paddleboard and go down the coast, or go cliff diving or skydiving, or I don't know, just being outside playing. The hard days for me are the ones where it's like, okay, you've had a really hard week of workouts, you're drained, and you have to rest. And like, I hate the idea so much that I've had to rephrase it in my brain of like, if you want to be as good as you say you want to be, you have to be disciplined enough to rest. And here are all the active rest things you can do. And so I'll foam roll and stretch and do hot Epsom salt baths, massages, acupuncture. I go to physical therapy and do laser and all these things so that I am being productive and taking that active rest to make myself better so I can get back to doing all the fun things and playing.
That's a great way to phrase it too, because I feel like, especially with athletes, you always feel like go, 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 or the day I'm sitting down is the day my opponent or my competition's getting better. So it's so hard to actually rewire your brain to say that sitting down, resting, recovering is part of exercise.
It is. And I think it's really celebrated in our culture, like the idea of no rest day, work harder, train harder, push yourself. And I love that. Like, it sounds so cool and heroic. And it was just maybe a year and a half ago that I finally separated the two of what do you want more? Do you want to be the most intense, the person who works harder than anyone else? Or do you want to be the person who actually succeeds at what you're doing? And when I realized that they weren't the same thing, it was like, well, I really do want to be the most intense, but I guess I would rather succeed.
I think the fighters could really learn from that too. Like exactly what you just said. Like that's a nice soundbite right there.
And what about eating now? Like your body's probably a furnace with the way you're moving. You know what I mean? You're probably burning off calories like crazy. But are you like, you know what? Let me just stick with this tofu, or you allowed to have a pizza once in a while? You allowed to have some Italian food?
I'm pretty flexible. Yeah, I'm a little OCD about, like, I want as many dark green vegetables as possible and get all the colors and high protein. And I would choose, like, a leaner steak over, you know, like, I don't know, something greasy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've kind of trained myself to prefer that, but I definitely have a sweet tooth, and, you know, like a really good dessert on set and I don't have any alternatives, then I'm probably going to have the dessert. Yeah. But so I don't have strict rules. It's more guidelines and make rational decisions in the moment.
See, that's my problem. See, I love the way she talks about it, that exercising. Is that's how I feel about jiu-jitsu. I rolled this morning. Mm-hmm. I love jiu-jitsu. But I also love pizza and cake. And I got kids and they always want pizza. I blame it on my kids. I should go back to me and my horrible diet.
You know what I do? I do want to ask you. The Academy Awards currently does not have an award for stunt people.
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah. Well, I know that you won an Action Icon Award for being a stunt woman of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But it upsets me that there's nothing at the Academy Awards. What do you feel about that?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, for a while we've had the Taurus World Stunt Awards where we vote and we nominate things for a World Stunt Award. And that's been really cool. It's sponsored by Taurus Red Bull.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of crazy that it's not honored in the Academy Awards. There is a group working on that. They do hashtag stand up for stunts. But like the creativity that goes into coordinating a fight scene and putting together a chase and just the creativity of the stunt coordinators is just, it adds so much to a movie and a story, and we would love to see that.
Yeah, I'm with that.
Are you ever really proud of some of your stunt work, but then the movie's shit and you're like, ah!
I have a feeling there's specific movies that he's
I want people
about.
To see this. I can't wait till they see me flip over the car, but the movie's just awful.
Oh gosh. It definitely happens. And like now with our phones, every now and then we'll have like, if I have a friend who's doing a huge, huge stunt, every now and then we'll try to have a phone like in a corner and catch it for them. Because sometimes like the lighting is so dark because it's a night scene and you just don't see the full effect of it. And you want them to have that like so that they can see it, so they can show their friends after the fact.
Plus you're signing like 5,000 NDAs, so you can't really even show the stuff that you've done.
And so it's always important. Some movies will be very, very strict about that. And I've been on other sets where like the actors are posting behind the scenes stuff as they're shooting it. And so like I always ask questions. The show I'm working on right now, Future Man, they're happy to have me post things, but they asked me to wait until they start marketing and publicizing.
What is that, Future Man?
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Can you talk about it?
A little bit. I can say non-detail things.
Okay.
But it's created and directed by Seth Rogen. And it's kind of like Back to the Future meets like Street Fighter or something.
Oh,
so
my
it's
God.
Like,
I like it already.
Oh, this is very interesting.
It's
and I'm such
be
a
so
Seth Rogen
fun.
Fan.
Yeah.
It's like a comp. Is this a movie?
It's a Hulu TV series that'll start in the fall.
Hulu.
It's just like
with that.
Hulu, Netflix, Amazon. They're all coming out with this original content that's like just so good.
Yeah, I worked on a Netflix movie, Bright, a couple months ago that should be coming out soon.
Okay,
and
cool.
That was both of these. Like the budgets are huge for these new media.
And you said you have training in acting. Besides the stunt work, have you acted as
little parts? I've had a lot of parts that I auditioned for where it's like you say two lines and then you get shot and fall off a building or hit by a car. Like those things have come up a lot. I got a little a guest star on Supergirl last year, like right after all the Ninja Warrior stuff kind of exploded. I am looking to do more of that. And probably should be pursuing the auditions more.
You realize that you could be like the female Jackie Chan.
Yes, that's my goal.
Yes,
Jackie Chan is my hero.
I want to hug you, but I'll wait until after we're done because that's
right. I mean, think about it. Look at him.
He's the greatest.
That's his own stunt. I see him jumping in car windows and all the different takes. That's the best part
about
it.
He's amazing.
He really is.
Right,
and he employs and so many stunt people and like has his own team and pays his own insurance. And
do you have like I said, Jackie Chan, and you just went, whoa, do you have certain stunt guys that you're like, that are maybe like underrated that we don't know about that you're like, oh, I really love this dude's work. Like,
oh my gosh.
Who's Batman?
It'll come later. When it
who does like old Batman stunts? Later. That dude, I think is.
There are a bunch and I don't know them as well because, gosh,
No. You answer Matt's question. That was my fault.
Oh, gosh.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
It was just, oh, my gosh, there's so many, too many to list. I don't... Oh, no.
No, listen, this is going to come to you later on.
It is. It is.
And
it
then
is.
You're definitely
but you could tweet us then.
American Ninja kicking yourself. And be like, I should have said about Jake taught me my first forward roll.
It's all right. I know.
What time is it now? Because I know we're calling Chris soon.
We are calling
sure.
Chris Weidman in 5 minutes.
We already kind of missed him. We'll wrap up with Jesse. And then we'll figure it out. No. Don't worry about it. That's great.
It's one of my fighters anyway. Yeah. I know all about him. But so he's not calling in.
We'll call him in a minute.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I don't know if we want Jesse to stick around and hang out. Or you want me, Jess, I don't know what your schedule is like. Should I ask your publicist who's over there on Twitter? What's going on over there? You all right? So anyway, so you just told me that you really look up to nobody in stunt work. And
oh my God.
Just, besides Jackie Chan.
Hold on. You definitely have to know about Debbie Evans because she has won more stunt awards than any, I think double anyone else in the
She's been around
industry.
A while, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't want to talk about her age, but she's not ready for the Ninja Warrior. That ship has sailed for Debbie?
She's a driver. I mean, she does everything, but she rode the motorcycle backwards on like The Matrix with Keanu.
Crazy.
And did like Fast and Furious. She's been on all of those.
Yeah.
So she's amazing. I always want to give credit to Shauna Duggins and Atlin Mitchell because people keep crediting me with being the Supergirl double. And they were the main doubles. I mostly doubled.
I mostly
doubled the bad guys. So I got to fight Supergirl all the time.
Really?
But and then Alicia Vella Bailey and Caitlin Dichelle were the main Wonder Woman doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any stunts that you're like, before you get on a movie, you find out like, all right, this is the list of stunts they want for this movie. Is that how it works? And then you're like, I'm interested? Or no, you're just like, I'm a stunt woman, and they're like, all right, we got a gig, and this is what's on the table. Like,
there are many ways. Sometimes it's an audition, and it's usually vague. They'll text you and be like, hey, fight audition tomorrow at like 4 p.m. And that may mean that we're going to be there doing like all different styles for like 2 to 3 hours, and they'll teach us a piece of choreography, and then we do it, and they shoot it, and then they teach us a different style, and then we do that and shoot it, and then they say, okay, show us all your flips, and then like you do it, and you try to hit fight poses in between stuff and transition and connect all your kicks to it. And other times it'll be like, hey, are you available tomorrow? Great, you're working at 7. Mm-hmm. And then no information.
You know, you might be falling off a building. You might be.
I did have one where like I showed up having no idea what I was going to do. And they're like, just bring a harness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, 12 hours later, I'm suspended 43 stories up on the side of a building attaching bullseye shaped decals and like swinging back and forth. So.
Before you did your first stunt ever, before you got involved, is there a school you went to? Did they go, we're going to teach you how to be a stunt? You can't just be like, I'm in shape and I'll jump off a building.
Right.
Is there, you had to learn these techniques, just like a fighter has to learn the techniques in fighting. For the stunts, how do you, that's not on the job training.
There's so many different ways. I mean, So if you don't have any connections to anyone in stunts, there are stunt schools where you can go kind of get the basics. And it's you can't go
there's one in New Rochelle, actually.
Let me know, because who knows
Chaz,
how long...
This guy Chaz teaches it.
Who knows how long this ship is sailing over here with unfiltered...
But I do have to say that when you go to these stunt schools, you can't finish and be like, okay, I am now qualified to work as a stunt person. You basically go and understand, okay, these are the things that I need to train in every day for the next 10 years to be awesome at stunts. Let me go do that. And then you find the gyms where the other stunt people are training and you work out with them and you say, hey, I did gymnastics. I'll teach you how to do this flip if you'll show me how to do this kick. And you kind of trade and form a group, and everyone learns together, and you know which people you can trust to, you know, kick you out the window, and which ones you want to be like, you know, I'll why don't we have this guy kick me? And then, you know, you find out where a movie is shooting, and you go bring your headshot, and you meet the stunt coordinator. And
they call it hustling.
Yep, we call it hustling.
Yeah. And it is a hustle. I mean, my boyfriend will find out, like, somebody's on set, and it'll be 2 o'clock in the morning, and you got to go to that set, and hopefully the coordinator will talk to you. And they get so much of my respect, because it's not only is it hard, physically hard in the body, it's so hard to get into and to be trusted by coordinators to get the job in the first place and to work with actors and not punch an actor in the face. And, you know, it's just really tough.
Was there ever a stunt that you seen and you're like, look, I'm not prepared for this. And then maybe later you were able to do it in another movie. But in the beginning, you're like, yeah, I'm not jumping off this cliff.
I love cliffs. I love jumping off cliffs. And in a situation like that, in a situation like that, you want to check your own safety. You want to be educated enough.
Right.
Yeah. I don't think I've been on set and had that come up. I've had people call and be like, hey, we have a driving job. And I'll be like, well, you know, I have very basic skills in driving. Yeah. I can do a sliding 90 or 180, but if it's in between two other cars, I would recommend, you know, Donna Evans, Debbie Evans. Like, I would recommend some other people, and they'll be like, oh, no, it's just a simple thing. You're just swerving. And I'm like, okay, as long as it's just so you know, this is what my level is.
Yeah.
So I've definitely passed along driving jobs to other people.
When does this Future Man come out? You got me excited about that.
I know.
Do we know when that thing's coming out?
I don't have a date. It's Hulu? It's fall
Seth
on Hulu.
Rogen's producing this thing?
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
I'm excited about it. All right, let's plug. Can we plug, please, the American Ninja Warrior? When that's coming out? When is that?
Yeah. Or
Monday nights at 8, 7
out.
Central
Say it again,
on
I'm
NBC.
I'm talking during you. Do that again when we're done. Only because I knew I messed it up. Go ahead.
It's on Monday nights at 8, 7 Central on NBC.
All right.
Jesse, so nice to talk to you and to meet you.
You
and
too.
Like, we will definitely be watching the show, and I'll try to see if I recognize you.
If you, ever,
you know, doing
thank
some
you.
Stunts.
And in LA, there's tons of jiu-jitsu schools. Get some arm locks in.
I will.
It's fun.
Yeah,
trust me, you might just fall in love with
it. And when you're here, go see Matt.
Well,
okay.
I got schools in Long Island.
Yeah.
You don't gotta try to sell memberships for me, but that's okay. You never that. Jay, thanks for hanging out with us, Jesse.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our good friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family, obviously. That's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. And it's such an intimidating process for all of us. Look, this is really simple. Allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
All right. Well, thank you to Jesse Graff. She was amazing. And before we get back into the show, let me just tell you people about Toyo Tires. I love Toyo Tires. UFC fighters are tough. You know what else is tough, Chris the producer?
What's that?
Toyo Tires.
Oh, that's right.
That's why Toyo has been a proud sponsor of the UFC. Just like the UFC fighters, Toyo Tires are built for battle. It's an all or nothing philosophy. Durability, aggressive design, on and off-road capabilities. Yes to all of them, Chris the producer. Living life on the highway? Toyo has you covered. Spending some serious time off-road? They have a tire for that too. No matter what you drive, Toyo has what you need. And frankly, these tires just look cool. They're cool looking tires. Any vehicle, every terrain, all or nothing, Toyo tires. The next time, Chris the producer, you need tires, ask for Toyo, please. Can you do that for me?
Yes, I will do it for you.
To experience more, visit toyotires.com/UFC. That's toyotires.com/UFC. All right, Phoenix, we are back. How much fun was that?
She's awesome.
She is awesome. Very friendly, warm girl. How nice. And then she demonstrated that how to do an aerial for my daughter.
Yeah, very
That's so
cool.
great.
Very, very cool.
So nice.
I just feel like stunt people are underappreciated.
I just wrote, I'm in a group text with, I'm telling Weidman that we're calling him now, but I'm in a group text with Aljo and Longo, so I just said I'm calling now to them, so I messed up.
It's all right.
Let me tell them, wrong person. I'm sorry.
Excited to talk
this.
To Weidman.
Yeah, me too. I'm a big fan of Chris Weidman.
Hi, Chris Weidman.
Hey, what's going on?
You don't know who this is.
It's a stalker.
Venus Carnival.
Yes!
Hey! What's up, Chris?
I know a voice. Yeah. I know the voice forever.
What's going on?
I'm actually going. I just went to a car wash, and now I'm wandering around in the parking lot trying to find somewhere where I could talk without being bothered and hearing loud noises. All right, we're good now.
Okay,
hey,
good.
Hey, buddy, I didn't talk to you since I watched The Road to the Octagon for your fight. And let me tell you, I don't know if it's my age. I don't know if it's because I'm a father of three. The thing with Cassidy, with your daughter, reading the thing about my daddy and this and that, dude.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Listen to me. Thank God I was. I mean, listen, I watch a lot of things in my bathroom. I'm not going to say if I was on the toilet or not, but dude, blubbering like a little bitch. You had me blubbering like a little bitch.
Oh,
I was so,
God.
Dude,
me
and
me
I heard
too,
my kids
man.
Were asking for it. I was like, oh, I'm busy. I got a shower. I got a tummy ache. Dude, I can't watch stuff like
That's
that.
That's funny. He was crying during
it's
the thing
terrible.
With your kids.
You know what's actually even worse? I don't know why it got me even worse.
But I missed.
I don't know if you saw the part because it was later on when Marivi was talking. She started talking about like me having to tell the kids the first time when I had lost.
Yeah.
And she started crying. And I'm like, oh, you got to be freaking kidding me. And I started crying. I'm like, I got to stop watching this stuff.
Yeah, you might start crying now.
That's when I started crying when your wife was talking about you and the family and stuff like that.
Freaking terrible.
Longo said that he was actually started crying during that. And I got taken
Longo's
back.
Like, I got to tell you, don't even watch the thing. Don't even watch it. It's freaking terrible.
That's funny. I would actually pay to watch Longo cry over that. Imagine him blubbering like a big baby.
You guys know each other too well, so I'm going to interject
here. Grabbing the tissues for him.
Velma, give me a tissue.
You guys know each other too well, so I'm going to interject here for a second. And Chris, I have a question for you about Matt.
Yeah.
So let's talk about him like he's not here.
You're going to make it weird, huh?
Yes.
Already getting weird.
What is it like to work with Matt Serra, and what is it like to have him as a coach? What kind of coach is he? I just want to know.
You don't
got to
answer. You don't got to answer that, pal. This is Chris, the producer, writes these.
I'm kidding. No, Matt's the best. I mean, he's been a mentor for me since I got into the sport, or even before I got into the sport. Just being a Long Island guy, seeing all the success he had. He's from East Meadow. I'm from Baldwin. It's literally like 10, 15 minutes away from each other, and to see a guy reach the type of success that he had, that he reached, was is motivating and inspiring. And then right away, as soon as I decided to get MMA, the first gym I went to was Matt's gym. I signed up, I put my gi on, and I started learning from Matt's first school over in East Meadow.
I will tell you
and,
this,
Matt,
I was a little lowly reporter. Right, and I was talking to Matt Serra, and you hadn't fought Anderson Silva yet, and he told me, "You got to see this guy I got at my gym right now, Chris Weidman. This guy's going to be the next champ. Mark my words. I swear to you, I'm telling you, I'm really good at predicting these type of things. He's amazing. So I'll never forget that. That's why I just wanted to bring it up because you guys
he prophesied it. He remembers that when we did the it was on his count. Was it on your countdown with Lytle maybe or
video blog when I was going to fight my last fight? Yeah, with Lytle, I believe it was my
crazy.
Very last fight.
Yeah. I was actually working out with him. He was getting ready for Lytle, and I was getting ready for, I guess, I don't even know who, my first MMA fight, maybe? We were walking to the doors. I watched the video like 1,000 times. It was my first touch with fame just because there were so many people watching the video, and no one ever seen my face that night before. And he said, this guy's going to be a champion. Let me tell you, this guy's going to be a champion. I had like a big black eye at the time. It was pretty crazy. It was pretty cool stuff.
The best is with that. I remember it because I said something like, I'm passing the torch. I'm passing the torch.
Yes.
And this is going to be the next champ. And then I read the comments afterwards. And they're like, what torch, Serra? You suck. I go, what the fuck? I go, can't I just give a compliment?
People suck. People suck, man. I've learned that just like you have over the years, man. You have to learn how to have thick skin in this business. I remember you actually telling me that.
Yeah, man.
You're not going to go far in this business if you don't have thick skin, and it's true. You have to eat it all day long, all the time.
Well, speaking of thick skin, you know, I was thinking about Musasi and that losing that controversial TKO, you know, with the knees and that, you know, potentially illegal knees. Mentally, you know, how do you deal with that and knowing what you're going in through with this next fight? And now you can't rematch the guy because he's with another organization.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, these are all things I just don't have control over, you know, so I just don't really think about it too much. Obviously, I didn't get my hand raised that fight. It sucks. Especially the way it went down. It was just so terrible for both of us, the confusion and everything. But, you know, now he's over. And I mean, initially, I thought we were going to get a rematch right away. And I remember talking to Dana, and he thought it was going to happen. And then next thing I know it, they offered me Gaslam and told me that Musashi doesn't look like he's resigning. And then, you know, I have to move forward, you know. And I got a tough test in front of me with Gaslam, so I just got to, that's all I'm focused on now.
Well, I know how training's going, so, but I want the people at home to know. It's so weird when producer's like, oh yeah, we got Chris calling in. I go, well, then Phoenix is going to have to ask a lot of shit because I know everything.
I know. Yeah, what are you gonna ask?
I mean, listen, I love what I'm seeing in sparring. I'm not saying anything, but I'm really excited. I'm really excited for Saturday night, and I'm excited that it's like, listen, Chris, we both were Long Island guys. To me, if I was still fighting, I think Nassau Coliseum would be more exciting, being a Long Island guy, than even MSG. I think it'd be that. That's how exciting it is for me. I mean, your main eventing Nassau Coliseum. I mean, that's 5 miles from my high school. How exciting is that? I know you fought in Atlantic City before you fought at MSG, but I mean, what is it about fighting in front of Long Island, in front of
exactly.
your people?
Yeah, this is another level for a Long Island guy. Like just like you said, this is our home. Madison Square Garden is historic. It's one of the most popular stadiums in the world, especially for fighting. But Nassau Coliseum for a Long Islander, there's nothing bigger than that. And, like sure. main event, it is just a dream come true. I mean, a dream I never even dreamt because I didn't even really see this type of stuff ever happening in my life. So it's a really cool thing, man. I just got to go out there and freaking do my thing. I got to go out there and perform. And then everything else, I mean, it's going to be a moment that I'll never forget.
What do you think of Kelvin? You know, what do you think of him? We've seen him with a few people, and but I feel like we haven't been able to really judge his true potential yet. I think his fight with you, it's what's going to set him up to the next thing if he's able
wait, hold
to
on,
win.
Hold on
hold
a second.
Hold on.
No,
I've got to ask
wait,
unbiased.
No, Phoenix, wait a second. I'm not going to interrupt you, but Chris, what are you, doing DJ work? What the fuck are you, what is going on here?
Do you
here?
Hear this? I don't know what.
Where
I
mean, are you?
I'm in a parking lot.
Sounds like you had a fucking rave.
Standing in the middle of a parking lot. It's crazy. They got speakers outside of things.
I just pictured him with like glow sticks.
That? No, that's all we hear. Actually, you're at some kind of party.
I have nowhere to go.
That's
hey,
why.
Let me walk around this.
Yeah, go walk around somewhere while we're talking. Right, and Phoenix, you get back to your question.
I want to know what
hang
he
on.
Thinks
so
of him.
Phoenix, you were saying, what do I think of Kelvin?
Yeah, because I feel that people are going to judge him by this performance against you, the most. Kennedy was gone for a while. Johnny Hendricks having problems with weight cut. Belfort is kind of an older guy. This is a nice fight that like he really has to prove himself now.
I like that. I like the way you're looking at it, Phoenix.
Maybe
that's
I'm
good.
A little biased too. I mean, you guys are my homies, but yeah. I am. I like Kelvin, but I want to know. You know, Chris has been a good analyst. He's been on Fox. He's smart. So I want to know what your opinion is.
I think one of the big parts that make people successful in this sport is not just like the talent, you know, that people have. It's more like just not being afraid and going out there and not being afraid to get hit and believing in yourself. And Kelvin, regardless of this fight, is definitely that kid. So I think he's going to have success in the sport and regardless of what happens in this fight, because he's definitely not afraid to get hit. He comes forward. He's now been in there with some bigger guys, and he tucks his chin and he lets it go. And that alone will take you far. So I think he's going to be just fine.
Now, I might be wrong with this, but is this the first time you're fighting on the same card as your best buddy, Gian Vellante?
First time since Ring of Combat, yeah, it's crazy.
That's a good thing, though. You guys had success on Ring of Combat together.
We're undefeated together.
Yes. And how does it feel with
that's
the
right,
whole
so
crew,
we gotta keep
man?
It that way.
Like, even the other guys, even not even on our team, but they're still our buddies. Like, guys like LaFleur and Dennis Bermudez. Yeah. Doesn't it feel, I mean, does it feel like Long Island against the world here or what?
Yes, it does, man. I feel this whole card just, I think, brought everybody together. Like, all the Long Islanders. Like, you know, we were doing way more things together. We're doing, you know, running hills together. Yeah. I think everybody's kind of cheering for each other, regardless if we train at some different gyms. Long Island, there's, I think, to have each other's back and really improve for each other. So hopefully we all go on the field that night and have a big party afterwards. Take down Long Island.
Dude, I'm so excited, dude. Where are you going now? You're running hills?
No. Is that what...
Hey, dude, I love it.
It sounds like you're actually being right in the car wash. Like, you're being washed.
I walked away from the car wash. Now I'm in front of, like, some random, like, barber shop and a Thai cuisine. And I don't know what the hell... I don't know where the hell I am. But I'm on Jericho Turnpike.
Did you watch the interim middleweight championship between Whitaker and Romero, and what were your thoughts on it?
Yep.
And what were your thoughts, Hobie?
And what?
What did you think about it?
And what's my thoughts?
Yeah.
I thought it was a really good fight. I think both of them went out there and worked hard. Whitaker, I mean, I think it really came down to that fifth round, and it looked like y'all looked like he was on a roll there in that fifth round. He started walking forward and really started throwing the punches really for the first time in the fight. And then he kind of slipped. And then once he slipped and he was stuck on his back and he was in guard, he was too tired to get off his back and make a difference. And Whitaker stayed strong and stayed on top and finished with the ground and pound. And it was a really good fight.
It's so funny. Phoenix brought up a car wash. What about, they got to stop handing him a bottle of water. Somebody's going to have to put that water in his mouth or something, because they hand him that bottle and they got, it's like a car wash. They all got towels and they know he's going to pour it all over his head. So the second he gets it, pours it. He must go through like three, how many, a bottle around over his head. They're all wiping it down. It's hysterical.
And I think the coaches are almost embarrassed at this point. They're like, they might be pleading with him not to do it. He just needs to drench himself.
Both guys. Every single time. I think they both had like four towels in there. They're all just wiping him down when he's pouring it over his head.
I know. It's crazy.
It was an entertaining fight, though. I thought it was definitely an entertaining fight.
Chris, have you done the Fox analyst thing anytime recently? Are you planning on doing it anytime soon?
I haven't done it recently, but I do plan on doing it again. I do. I want to start getting back out there doing that type of stuff. You know, it's one of those things. It's uncomfortable the first time you do it. And second time it gets a little bit better. And then third time you kind of start liking it. And then you start, you know, it's like Matt with comedy. He did his first show. He hated it. But now he's going to start doing a second and third. And he's going to end up becoming a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
So same stuff with that.
I think you got to
be. It's uncomfortable, though. It sucks.
You got to be confused with a certain Dean Thomas. who's somewhere right now on stage getting booed as we speak.
Well, I bring it up because Chris, you are so entertaining. Like when you were explaining the Cyborg versus Angela like altercation that happened, it was really, really funny. So when you look back at that,
it wasn't funny being there when Cyborg pointed at you. Oh, that was a little scary.
Don't put your hands on me.
I appreciate that though.
Oh man, I would have loved to have seen that. I think that is actually pretty funny. I could picture your
Matt,
face
you saw
too.
The video that Dana had, right?
Yeah. Dana showed me the video. I thought it was hysterical.
It was pretty funny.
She looked right at you.
I'm
Don't
not
you put your hands?
The good thing is, I started telling that story not thinking there was any cameras. Thank God I told the story right, because if that video camera came back out, I started acting like I was Mr. Tough Guy during the whole thing.
Yeah,
it wouldn't look good on my end. I admitted right away that I backed down.
Listen, you were in a tough spot. That's a no-lose situation. No-win situation, I should say, you know?
Exactly. Definitely. I agree.
Right. I have to ask you one more question because, you know, Matt knows you extremely well, you know, and I know you a little bit. So what can fans expect to see with your fight against Kelvin Gastelum? What can we expect to see that night?
Relaxed, confident, pressure fighter that gets everywhere and gets a finish. You know, I'm prepared for a war, but I really have a hard time imagining, you know, not being able to get finished in this.
Beautiful. What That's a way great. To end this interview. That was great. Listen, I'm going to hit you up later. I want to know what's going on during this week, and we're going to get all our ducks in a row, and I'm super psyched. I know you had that evil genius John Danaher over the other night, and you guys were going over some stuff. It's great, man. We got everything together. Yep. I am beyond psyched. I can't even think about it because I get excited. Chris, the producer, is shaking like a crackhead. We're really excited about this weekend, buddy. Saturday night.
I appreciate that.
Give the proper plug, Chris, the producer. Matt.
This coming Saturday, July 22nd, the main event is at 8 p.m. Eastern on Big Fox.
Big Fox. Chris Weidman.
Big Fox.
All right, buddy. I'm going to hit you up later on. Thanks for talking to us, buddy.
Bye, Chris.
Chris?
He just hung up.
All right. Just could you do me a favor and wait, he's back. All right, he's gone. Listen, as we're me and Phoenix are talking, just give him a text and say that we didn't hang up on him. Listen, he's such a good guy. I really am looking forward to this weekend. But really quick, only because, we're almost done.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to talk about the fights. Let's talk about a few of them over the weekend.
Okay.
And then, on the next podcast, we'll talk more about the fights this coming weekend, which I'm really excited about, man. Strong Island in the hizzy. What?
How is that? How's the temperature in the gym with everybody training at the same time?
Well, I mean, listen.
Vellante.
Oh, it's
Weidman.
Great.
Aljo.
Yeah, we got a wrecking crew. Aljo's fighting a week later.
Yeah, but you guys are still in the training camp with everybody.
Aljo's looking badass, man. He's got Barao. He's psyched.
Yeah.
Aljo's psyched. And Aljo's doing things now that I'd never seen him doing before. And I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I can't wait for you to see it. That guy.
Well, we know they have to fight at 140, though, because of the California State Athletic Commission saying that they don't trust Barao to fight at featherweight or, set to make bantamweight. So they have it at 140.
It's fine. I don't care what weight it is. I believe in
Aljo. No, it's good to hear.
No, it's funny because he snapped right into training, coaching.
Aljo's, I love that.
I'm ready. Aljo is ready. But, really quick, though, because I want to talk about a couple of these fights that happened over the weekend. Paul Felder versus Stevie Ray. Did you see that? Now, Stevie Ray, he's coming fresh off his win, a biggest win of his career over Joe Lozon. Am I correct with that? Or am I way off with that?
I'm sorry. I was texting Chris.
That's okay, motherfucker. You're only the producer of the show.
What were you asking? I'm sorry.
I was asking you if Paul Felder versus Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray is just coming off of his victory over Joe Lozon. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
And that was an impressive, impressive fight. So that makes this, and this got performance of the night by Paul Felder. And our condolences. He lost his old man, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. He died of pancreatic cancer.
Goddamn cancer. Got my mother too. Fucking cancer.
Oh, wow.
But, but let me tell you, this Paul Felder was a man on a mission. And that, I mean, that was a short fight, but that was brutal.
It was. There was some great clinch work against the cage.
And this is a tough
down
kid.
Down by a knee.
This Stevie Ray is no lemon.
No.
He just passed a big test when he beat Joe Lozon, and that's the game. That's the game we play, man. You get to a new level, man. You reached a new heights. You beat a known guy, and then all of a sudden Paul Felder comes out like a maniac.
Yeah.
He was great, though.
Yeah, with just clean, sharp strike. His striking was just so precise.
Now, I just want to make sure that these fights aren't blending into each other, because when I watch so many fights, sometimes that happens.
Yeah, me too.
I'm not thinking of the Danny Henry. Was it the knee? Was it a knee or was it a...
It was a knee.
Or am I thinking of the Danny Henry...
No, he downed him with a knee.
Yeah, no, it was a knee.
It was a knee. That's what it was.
And then he just landed very strong elbows.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I mean, hey, listen, elbows. Stevie Ray, I believe, will be back.
Yeah.
And I enjoy watching him fight. But this Paul Felder, what's his record right now, Paul Felder? Can you look that up? Because this guy needs to be talked about.
He's 14-3 now.
That was performance of the night, wasn't it?
Yeah, he got a performance of the night for that. Yep.
And that's definitely deserves it. Co-main event. Phoenix,
I want to talk about this.
Talk to me.
All right. I mean, I know people are going to tweet at me after I say this, but everybody was saying, oh, that was a tough one to score. And I was like, no, it wasn't.
All right, listen.
Okay, hold on. How was it a tough one to score? Cynthia got her down in the first, went for a rear naked choke submission, then reversed it into an arm bar, almost had the arm bar, saved by the bell. Second round, okay, Cynthia was a little bit worried about JoJo's kicks. You could see her like imaginarily checking or parrying kicks. You could see that. But she was doing some great job with some body punches. She put together boxing combinations. JoJo did like a spinning back fist, but it hit her in the back of the head, right? And then the third round, she goes for a rear naked choke, and she's saved by the bell again. So Cynthia definitely scored two takedowns in the fight. She was hitting her with the cleaner strikes. So I don't just because JoJo was pushing the action forward, that means that she should win. You could fight while backpedaling.
This is my take on it. I feel that it's a just decision. I think that Cynthia beat JoJo, and she
absolutely
and how she beat her. Now this is my take on it. The second round, let's say you do score that for JoJo. Say it's around the piece. The rounds. I feel that Cynthia won the first round and the third round. Now, look.
Decisively
could,
first
Well,
and third,
you could
yeah.
say, all right, but it's only, they could judge that on, well, there was 4 minutes and 30 seconds of them standing. And that could be, you could look at that, like, who got the better of that? You can't base a thing on 30 seconds. I look at it like this. It's one thing if she got a takedown with 30 seconds left and did nothing with it. Just got a takedown and held
she
her.
She was constantly
when
fighting.
When that 30 seconds was... Every time she got her down on the floor, she was ferocious. She was not only looking for a submission, she was looking just to, finish that fight.
Yeah.
And she got close to doing it both times.
Right.
The first round and the third round. More happened in that total of maybe a minute in those between those both rounds than the whole fight. And that's she came close to finishing it both times. And that was very impressive. She wasn't rushing at all to get that takedown.
No, I 100% agree. I like JoJo.
And she did definitely enough. I mean, she almost finished it both times.
Yeah.
Once with the arm lock, once with the rear naked. How could you not? And JoJo, to her credit, was doing the best she can. But, you know, when there's different levels on the floor, it's hard to play catch up when this girl was just on her like a maniac.
Definitely.
And I thought she was relentless on the floor for that 30 seconds. And I got to see the exact time, but I'm pretty sure it was both around 30 seconds at the end of each round.
Yep.
And she definitely did enough. I mean, that was a very just decision.
Well, and relentless on the floor, that's becoming a trademark now. Since every fight, if she comes anywhere near your back, you better be worried because she's probably going to stop
and
you.
And then when she loses it, she gets back on top. She's relentless. Yeah. And I love her flow from submission to submission. She's just, I can't say enough about this, Cynthia Cavillo.
I like her
say
too.
Say last name for me.
Calvillo.
Calvillo.
Calvillo. Yeah.
Calvillo.
Yeah.
Calvillo.
There you go.
Calvillo.
There you go.
Okay. that was the co. All right. So we talked about a couple of those. That's the co-main. Talk to me about this main event.
Oh, well, I think that
Santiago.
I think Santiago was a little bit worried about Gunnar Nelson taking him to the ground, so he forgot that Gunnar Nelson could hit him. So Gunnar Nelson was hitting him, and he landed such a hard jab that you could see, you know, Santiago's head snap back, and you could hear it.
Yeah.
But then it kind of like woke Santiago up, and he starts striking back in return. And Gunnar Nelson's hands are super low.
Yeah, but
super,
he has.
Super
but
low.
They're always. It was off of an exchange.
Yeah,
Gunnar. Looked, I'm a big Gunnar Nelson fan.
Me too.
I enjoy watching him fight. I don't know if the little unknown fact, I don't believe you know this, but his father is a fan of this show.
Yeah, didn't he?
Oh, he is.
Yeah, I remember him like tweeting you or writing
Mr. Nelson,
like something like that.
We like him. I call him Mr. I'm respectful. Let me tell you, Santiago pronounce his last name for me because I just wanted to hear it once.
Ponzinibbio. There you go.
Ponzinibbio. I love saying that. He's a powerful mofo.
Oh, yeah.
When it started, I'm like, this is the best Gunnar Nelson I've seen.
Because
so
his
far.
Striking was sharp.
He would, it's almost like he's coiled up and then he bounces in, bap!
Yeah.
And he gives a nice, and he was striking nice. I'm like, it's going to be one of these, or just going to be a change in level. And then we're going to start seeing some beautiful jiu-jitsu.
Right.
But he never got it to that point because of the power that Santiago.
Ponzinibbio.
I knew that. I just want to do it.
He was savoring it. Yeah.
That, you know, Santiago, he's got some power. What is his record right now?
He's 25-3.
What's his record in the UFC?
Let me see.
And who did he lose to in the UFC? Because, you know.
He's.
I feel like these guys just come up out of nowhere. I mean, I'm watching so many fights. I'm like, oh, I've seen him fight. Next thing you know, it's like, look at this world beater right
here. He's 7-2 in the UFC. He's lost to Ryan LaFlair. Okay.
Ryan LaFleur is a very underrated guy. I'm not just saying that because he's a buddy of mine from Long Island. He's fighting this weekend, by the way, LaFleur.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
versus the Brazilian cowboy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cowboy, go ahead. Go, and else? Then he has a loss to Lorenz Larkin.
And then who else?
Tough guy. Earlier, it's a guy that he lost to in like 2011, not in the UFC. So,
all right. Well, this,
but he's won five in a row now. So,
I mean, that was very impressive, and to take out. I mean, Gunnar. I feel like Gunnar never got a chance to get going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, listen, you got to give credit where credit is due. He caught him. If he was going to win, that's how he was going to win. You know what I mean? By blasting him.
Gunnar did say that he got poked in the eye, and then that affected the exchange.
I don't know about that. Are you sure about that?
Yeah.
I read something about him that was very classy, saying that, you know, he's going to learn from it and move forward and whatnot. I didn't hear nothing about a poke in the eye.
I mean, he wasn't saying it like anything. He kind of faulted himself because he did. He got poked very early in the fight,
okay,
but then he landed. And so he's like, maybe I should have said something regardless, so, you know, whatever. He wasn't
always
going to
be a woulda, shoulda, coulda, but let me tell you.
No, he's a classy guy.
Yeah,
he really
wasn't taking anything away from
it. I enjoyed it. And not to hop all around, but I know we're a little short on time. I really got to bring up Danny Henry versus Daniel Taymor.
Yeah.
Because I enjoyed that fight. Did you see that fight, Phoenix? It's okay if you didn't.
I did not.
Well, I'm going to tell you about it.
Tell me.
Fight of the night.
It is fight of the night. And Daniel Taymor came out in that first round, and he was landing, and he was accurate. And I'm thinking, all right, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before there's only so many of these punches that this Danny Henry kid could take, you know? Wrong! I was wrong! You know, don't underestimate that guy with the two first names. This Danny Henry is a dangerous mofo. And he came back. And that second round, I got to remember what he landed. What did he land? He didn't land the knee. Did he land the knee? Or was it a punch that changed things around? The tide turned in that second round.
Yeah, I think he landed just a short jab that caught him. And then maybe there was a knee after that. But yeah.
And then you saw just the momentum shift. And I love fights like that.
So do I.
Where I'm thinking this is going a certain way. And next thing you know, this other guy just took over. He took over and got in that driver's seat in that second round and then never let him recover, and he was on him. And I want to see this kid fight again, this Danny Henry kid. What's his record in the UFC? Where'd this guy come from? Who are these people, Phoenix?
I love these cards, though.
I know.
Because it's when you get to see the future of what's going to happen and who's rising. And, you know, I don't like when fans complain, like, there's no names on this card. Mm. Well, the guys that are names were eventually at once were not names, if that is a sentence that makes sense, which I don't think it does. Basically, I'm saying you got to watch the rising stars. You should watch fights to see who's going to be a star, not wait for them to be a star, because then you're just bandwagon fans.
Yeah.
You want to be fans of the sport, not necessarily just fans of the names. You got to watch the fights.
You're saying be like a finger pointing to the moon.
And yes, you don't want to miss all the heavenly glory.
Thank you, Bruce Lee.
Danny Henry's 11-2 overall. That was his UFC debut.
That was it. What a debut, Danny Henry. Congrats.
And Daniel Taymor's as well. So,
those guys got a future. And I know one guy that's going to be watching. Look, this guy right here. Me. Listen, before we're going to be getting out of here, and I think we covered enough. If there's any other fights, we'll talk about it more with them next time. Because, I enjoyed the hell out of this card. I really did. And especially the last three on the main card were great.
Yeah, they were
freaking
very
great.
Entertaining.
You know? But on a personal note, this weekend, last weekend, I should say, the whole Saturday, I had to go to, I went to the New York Open here in Manhattan at the City College, because it was a jiu-jitsu tournament called the New York Open. So I went there and I had some of my guys compete. And then from there, me and my right-hand man, Dan the Pool Guy, that's his nickname, Pool Guy, you know Pool Guy. I used to work on pools before he became one of my black belts, and he works for me now full-time. But anyway, we took a ride out to see one of my fighters. And listen, I just want to give this really quick little story. This kid, Manny Flores, he's 5-0 as an amateur as of Saturday night. He had to fight for a title at the Frankie Perez's show. Frankie Perez is fighting, by the way, too, on the juniors fighting on the Nassau Coliseum card.
Yeah.
Yeah, versus Chris Wade.
For New York,
that's a great fight.
Very good.
That's a great fight. But anyway, his father does promotions. Is a promoter, and he does Dead Serious Ring of Combat. It's a joint promotion. So my guy, now this guy, when he first came to me, how many years ago? He's one of my brown belts, Manny Flores. When he first came to me, 200 and something pounds, 60 pounds or something like that, and smoking Newports. You know, I asked him. Now the guy looks like, I call him the African Samurai because that's what he looks like. He has his hair up in the bun, and he looks like a fucking superhero. A total transformation where I'm like, hey, dude, give me a picture when you used to be a fat guy. He said he never had it because he never wanted to take pictures. He was like ashamed. This guy, great guy. I love this guy. Family man, good dude. He transformed. He's like a superhero. Now he looks the part. He's looking great. He's training hard. And now he wanted to try the fighting. He's 5-0. And he just, you know, and he just won over the weekend with a dramatic fight where it was a round apiece. He got dropped in the last round and he finished with a triangle choke versus a black belt. It's just, I just want to give a special shout out to him because he made me really proud and he's just a great guy and it shows you what hard work could do. The guy came in, fat guy smoking Newports. Now the guy looks like a superhero and it's very motivating.
You're a really good coach, Matt.
Well, that's not the point.
No, I want to say it. I actually want to say it. I really think you are amazing. Manny. I've seen you with your students. I've seen you in the corners. I've worked with you once or twice. Like, you're exceptionally good.
You're a great co-host. You make me feel good. Phoenix, what do you want to promote before we get out of here?
Everything Martial Arts is my YouTube page. In Fighting Shape is my podcast. I'm on Twitter as Microphone Fiend, like the old Rakim Microphone Fiend, but Microphone Phoenix. It's just the IX is missing. Microphone Fiend. And then I'm on Instagram and Facebook and all that good stuff. And you can follow me for all martial arts related content and pop culture stuff too.
What?
Pop culture stuff, you know.
I love the pop culture. And like speaking of that, listen, we both agree zero pee breaks during Wonder Woman. We yes. liked it a lot. We're going to have you back again. Well, they're having you back again regardless. You're a very good friend of the show now.
Thank you.
And are we going to talk about Spider-Man next time?
Yes.
Because we can't do it now because that's not going to, we can't show you. Look at that, hour and a half. We're going.
More people need to see Spider-Man 2 so that we don't do too many spoilers. Yeah. And then by then we can talk about Game of Thrones also.
Oh, I can't. Oh, see this? Now we're not going to leave.
No, got to go. I got to go do my show too.
I got to go too. And listen, people. But just to give a little spoiler, go see that Spider-Man, though. Spider-Man Homecoming was great.
Loved it. Loved it.
All right, Phoenix, we are out of here, people. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.